Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And painter Ralph Hange is a retired art instructor whose long teaching career included a wide range of students, kindergartners through university students. He's been exhibiting his own artwork since the 1970s, from California to Ohio, balancing his creative artist life with his professional teacher life all along the way. Ralph will be conducting an artist talk at the McCroskey Art Center tonight, but he's with us right now. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning.
You've got a show at the McCroskey Center right now that's called Busyness as Virtue Tondo. It's a series of 4-foot-wide circular canvases on which you've created vibrant, detailed, multidimensional abstract pathways and layers that I think play with geometrical shapes and patterns, lines and dimension, and they kind of, the images kind of carry the viewer's eyes all around and in and out of the pieces like a collage, but it's paint. What is your process like creating these involved pieces?
Well, first of all, the description I thought was very apt. Yeah, why the tondo? What's going on in the pieces? The name implies busyness. So I wanted to really load up the picture plane with a lot of shapes, as you mentioned, lines. It's funny. You're the first person to mention this kaleidoscopic feel, but I think the movement in the pieces, now that you mention it, it does have has that feel about it, not such symmetrical geometric format. The shapes and lines are crashing all over the place. I am trying to move the viewer's eye, much like a landscape painter does, and I just want it busy. I want it loaded up. I want the viewer to come in, experience the work, and then maybe chew on it, after they're no longer in the presence of the work, if this makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Has your style been that way?
It's funny because when I was doing undergraduate work, I considered myself a single configuration artist. In other words, I'd throw out the same form all the time. Mm-hmm. And then it was to manipulate one piece to another, even though the shape vocabulary was the same regardless of the size of the picture plane. And it had a certain reduced feel to it, even though the pieces were all different. But I wasn't. I remember in graduate school during a critique, one of the professors had made a comment, and I said to her, I said, you know, Kim, I said, if I could, I'd crank out artwork like Ford Motor Company cranks out fenders. And she laughed, and she says, why? I said, well, it would just be easier that way. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but...
Okay, so the pieces in the show right now, there are these big circles. Is that something you've been playing with? And I know you build your own... You build your own frames and everything, from what I understand.
Yeah, I make the stretchers out of plywood and then lattice, and then if you turned them around, they look like a wagon wheel kind of, big voids in there to lighten them up, and then it's stretched canvas. But yeah, I was when I was teaching at Grand Rapids before I retired, a fellow art teacher, Rebecca Taylor Grandorf at the time. One day I just said to her, I said, geez, Rebecca, I want to start doing tondos. And she thought, well, that's a good idea. So we kicked some things around, and then that was the start of it, doing shaped canvases that are either oval or round.
Is that what a tondo is?
That's what a tondo is, yeah.
Huh.
Art historians would probably hearken it back to a religious iconography, tondos, but the definitions I've heard and seen over the years is that, yeah, either artwork on a round or oval shape or configuration.
Very interesting. You just mentioned teaching, and I'm wondering, you've taught for decades, and you've taught many different ages of people. First of all, what do you love about teaching art?
Well, first of all, there's a certain comfort level if you're involved in, whatever field you're involved in, and if you're teaching in that field. But art's a weird thing in the sense, every once in a while, as you're teaching, all of a sudden for a kid, for a student, the light will come on, and you kind of see it, and it's like, yeah, you get it. Or was teaching college, you know, they start picking up some of the things that, that we were trying to impart onto the students in college. And you could see, you know, growth and improvement right there. And, you know, that, I don't know, I think that's rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Things of, you know, things of that nature.
What do you think some of the skills are that people learn through art classes that transfer well into real life?
Well, there seems to be controversy about, where's the place of the liberal arts in education and after you get out of high school, and, does it really serve a function? Should we just be chasing the dollar? And, why not both? Why not, quote unquote, be well read and do something you like? And, you know, in the visual arts, it's most often it's something physical as well. So I think there's celebration in being involved with the body beyond your mind to where you're manipulating materials. Or, you know, I think music's similar, mm-hmm. and I think athletics are similar.
Hmm.
Where you're putting these things together. So
interesting. So you say on your website, there's a quote that kind of percolates up every now and again, and it says, "You don't choose art, art chooses you."
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I believe that. Why does anyone do anything? I've got an older brother who's an accountant, and why someone would want to be a bean counter and crunch numbers like that, but, you know, bless him. And he probably thinks the same thing about me. I hearken back to going to college and teaching all these years, and the number of people teaching who I taught with who started off with a different major and then ended up as an English teacher or whatever, the numbers are kind of staggering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how did they end up... a friend of mine was going to be a FIAD teacher. He ended up being a tech teacher. You know, how does this happen? So, and I don't know. I went to study FIAD, but I was fortunate. I ran into Jim Conway at an Oak Ramsey Community College, and he was tremendous, tremendous teacher and educator. And that probably was, you know, the start of being chosen for me because the work certainly did not warrant it.
So you hadn't been necessarily really into art until later?
I did it in high school, but it was out of ignorance. I had no art skills at all. Mm-hmm. I went to community college. I had no art skills. So I'm taking, your general classes. I'm taking FIAD, and I didn't like those. And I'm taking art, but everybody else can draw and paint. And I'm like, I'm this idiot in the room. And it's like, whoa, But, there's perseverance. And, again, I was fortunate to run into someone like Jim because and Jim's down in the Twin Cities, and he taught at Oak Ramsey and Hamline University, and he's still going strong. But I was really ignorant about art and what it is and what it can be. But luckily I was able to acquire some skills thanks to people like Jim and graduate professors and things, Frank Herman and Terrence Corbin at Cincinnati. I think there's some luck involved, at least in my case there was.
And persistence. You've been showing your work since the 70s in galleries all over the place.
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough to get into some juried shows and that helps too, what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Confidence breeds success. Success breeds confidence. Well, you enter art shows and juried shows, you get rejections, and all of a sudden a card comes in the mail that said you've gotten in this show, and it's like, whoa. maybe I'm onto something here.
Yeah. What are you going to be talking about tonight at the McCrosty Art Center?
I think we're just going to talk about the formal aspects, of the paintings. There's no great profound thing about the paintings where there's got some, some postmodern angst-ridden life I've experienced, and the circle goes on and no beginning and no end. No, we're going to talk color and shaped vocabulary and movement and line and just formal art concerns. So it should be fun.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Well, hey, do you think all kids should take art classes?
I think a broad array of courses for children. I think it's very important because, you know, sometimes you don't know when you're going to become an artist or anything else. I have a nephew who's now 30, maybe about 40 years old. He never had an art class in high school, but he went to Anoka Ramsey. He took a ceramic class and ended up getting his BFA in ceramics at the University of Minnesota. What happened to him?
Mm-hmm.
No art at all. And I think, you know, if he had been exposed earlier, other than coming to Uncle Ralph's studio, you know, maybe he would have been on it earlier. So I think it's important to have a broad-based education, but that's just me.
Yeah. That is Ralph Hange Jr. He'll be speaking tonight at the McCrosty Arts Center, and his work will be up all month. Thanks, Ralph.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.